And I'm sure you will go away from this and God will have definitely uplifted you, because he's certainly done it for me. And he's got me in a little bit of a fizz. Right, let's read Psalm 100 together, shall we? Just a little note for Adele, we're going to need this at the end as well. Right. Do you not want to give a shout of praise when you read that psalm? Now, we were singing really, really well. And you know, when I was a little child, I used to love playing cowboys and Indians with my friends. But what I really liked best was being the Indian, because they got to dress up really nice and they had a nice headdress and they had the most fun and they danced around the toga and they gave the shout, didn't they? So I thought tonight, I think God wants us to be a little bit uninhibited and give a little war cry. So shall we try it? I know it's Mothering Sunday and some of us might have had quite a large lunch or something, or been cooking lunch, but I think we could try it. Shall we try it? Yeah, and if we don't do too well in the first one, we're going to try it again, so you get another attempt to loosen your vocal cords. After three, right? Are you ready? One, two, three. Right, I think you need to stand up because you need to get air in your lungs. Come on. You can do better than that. You were singing better than that. Are you ready? And if anybody comes in, we'll just tell them this is what God wants tonight. Are you ready? The loudest. And I know you're looking at me really weird, but I know you can do it. Get on your feet. Come on your feet. Nobody on. Oh, he's not on their feet. Right, Dorothy, you're all right. Are we ready? After three, we've got to raise the roof off. And you remember this all week, and this is God's war cry for us, right? And our shout of praise really, really loud, so your lungs are going to burst. So take a deep breath in. One, two, three. Excellent. Now what would be really good is if we march round doing that. No, I'm joking. But I do believe that psalm is a shout for joy, okay? It's not a quiet mouse little voice. It's a loud, uninhibited shout for joy. And God wants us to do that. On a Sunday morning, if you come to this church, you will know we've got a little girl, Emma Rose, and she does the most beautiful, extravagant worship ever. She just moves around and dances. And she's done that for me in a tiny thought. And sometimes we sit there and I want to join in, but I would not look nowhere near as elegant as Emma Rose. But God wants us tonight to shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Now, have you ever been to a football match? Have you ever seen a football match? So you will know the roar that goes out when a goal is scored for that team, won't you? Yeah? Or, well, if you've watched the royal wedding on TV and the bridal party comes by, you hear the crowd and it gets swelled and it gets louder and louder. Or if you've been on an aeroplane and it's been a bit bumpy and you're coming into land and you land, the cheer that goes up and the applause for the captain that has landed the plane is amazing. Okay. These people, whether they profess Christianity or not, are exuberant in their praise and thanks. And we were created with praise on our lips. We were created by our Creator God to praise him. Now, in the Bible, we know there are war cries and battle cries and shouts for the Lord. And the walls of Jericho only came tumbling down when they'd marched around seven times in silence. And on the seventh time, the sound was given, the trumpets went, the instruments were in front, the soldiers were behind, and the walls came tumbling down. Now, when we were praying for planning permission, for the church to be granted the permission to build the next bit in Church House, we too were led by the Holy Spirit. We were led to march around the room like something. The curtains were closed, but they did look out over here, so nobody could see us. But we were led to walk round, and we were doing our battle cries, we were praising, we were singing, we were doing all sorts of things. You would have thought we would start bonking, raving mad. Okay, but you know what? We were praying and thanking God and anticipating expectantly for permission to be given for the walls of opposition to come down. And what a night of prayer and praise that was. And we will not forget that, I don't think. But I do know that God prompted me to go an eighth time. And I don't know why. And I didn't adhere to it. But I now know that there was an eighth person that did not vote. They abstained. And I believe if we'd have got another eighth, another one, we'd have had that one. Anyway, you might not feel like a shout of joy to the Lord. You might not want to give a shout of joy to the Lord today. But giving thanks when we're in a battle is sometimes a sacrifice of praise, whether we feel it or not. But that's exactly when we need to do it. When we're feeling that low, or we're feeling we're in a battle, or we're not well, that's exactly when we need to be doing it. Because as we praise God, and as we thank him, and as we enter into his gates with thanksgiving, he transforms us. Something within us transforms, and he lifts us, and our focus towards God becomes more clear, and it takes us away from our current difficulties, troubles, and battles. So this evening, it may be your shout of joy, your battle shout that's going to release God's wholeness and healing over the situation you're in. This Psalm 100, it's a beautiful psalm, a psalm for giving thanks. There are many psalms of thanksgiving in the Bible, but this is the only one that has the title, a psalm of thanksgiving. It might or it might not mean anything, but detail is everything. So my husband says. This psalm is an invitation to enter joyfully into God's presence. His faithfulness extends to our generation and beyond. We don't know who wrote the psalm. The author is anonymous. The psalms are made up of five books called the Psalter, and this is in book 3, which includes Psalms 90 to 106. And the psalms in this book, book 3, which this particular psalm falls in, resemble the book of Numbers. And they focus on the relationship of God's overruling kingdom to the other nations. Because we are citizens of God's kingdom, we can keep the events and troubles surrounding us as a nation in their proper perspective. And given the current climate that we're in with Brexit and other things globally, we are well reminded to know this, that we focus on God and we are citizens of his kingdom. We're grateful to God for his personal concern, help and mercy. Not only does God protect us, he guides us and he forgives us. But his creation provides everything we need. We have everything we need in his creation. When we realize how we benefit from knowing God, we can fully express our thanks to him. By thanking him, our prayer life becomes more spontaneous because it just flows and erupts from us. So this psalm, it starts with an exhortation to shout to the Lord, all the earth. Perhaps we've become so accustomed to being typically English, stiff upper lip sort, maybe being a little bit reserved in our worship, praise and thanks, that we keep quiet. And as children, I'm sure you can remember your parents or your grandparents. If you went to church or went anywhere, you were shh. You were shushed. But you know this psalm? This psalm's not about being shh. This psalm claims that it's very appropriate to turn up the volume. These five verses roar with praise. In verse 1, we are to shout. Now, shout is not something gentle, is it? Shout is loud. In verse 2, we are to worship. In verses 2 to 4, we are told to enter. In verse 4, we are told to praise, and we are told to bless. So taken together, these commands call us in community to sing in a grand procession into God's temple presence. So whether that was the temple of biblical times, or the temple here, or the temple that's within us, because we are the living temple of God. Throughout Christian history, this psalm has been used to summon the community together in robust praise. Now, I'm not quite remembering this event, but some of you may. In 1953 at Westminster Abbey, when Queen Elizabeth II was crowned as our queen, there was a composer, Ralph Vaughan Williams, and he arranged the old 100th psalm tune. It's big, it's bold, it's stunningly beautiful and worth a listen. But during the coronation, when the choir processes singing, all creatures that on earth do dwell, we get a sense of the type of ritual that Psalm 100 depicts. there was a cathedral full of voices, along with an organ, with brass and percussion, all having a palpable effect. Can you imagine all the nations of the world coming together to offer thanks to God? What a beautiful cacophony of sound that would be. And what a taste of heaven. You know when you hear a beautiful choir or you hear a beautiful orchestra or someone singing or a child singing or just making noise, sometimes it really moves you. So, you know, I know here someone can just play on that piano and I'm gone. God really moves through music and he moves us through music. But going back to this procession when the queen was crowned, the procession moves forward and the emotions are carried along as well. And the psalm and Vaughan Williams arrangement of it witness the power of sound, of movement, working together to glorify God. Psalm 100 reminds us of the transformative power of worship, of music, of being known, of God's sustaining and enduring love forever. Because we are told his faithfulness continues through all generations. So not just here and us here and now, but our children's 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 children, etc., etc., etc. The worship of God changes the community's identity. Our identity is in God the Creator, because he created us. The psalm reflects on this nature of people, of you and of I, of our brothers and sisters in Christ. The Queen is our sister in Christ. We belong to God. We are the sheep of his pasture. In knowing the Lord is God, this directs us to establish a sustaining, a deep and intimate relationship that should be reciprocal, that it is reciprocal. See, in being known to him, it means in a very intimate way, like it does between two lovers. He knows us intimately. So we have no reason at all to be afraid, because our identity comes from God. And we are not who the world says we are, but who God says we are. When we look at verse 3, we get a pastoral imagery. And it's a description of a constructed space of a city. Verse 4, along with it, talks about a renewed command to continue the procession. So I know we talked about when the queen was crowned in a coronation as queen, and there was a procession for her. But we're in a procession. We're in a procession of time and space. The ritual of praise moves through all places. We are to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. All places, all people who know God, it's appropriate for us to worship him, for he is king everywhere throughout all nations and generations. Last Sunday, I think it was, and you spoke, Nick, about the gate, entering through the sheep gate, and the significance of that when Jesus entered through the sheep gate. Because he is the Lamb of God, so he entered through the sheep gate once and for all. He is the gate. He is the way through which we enter into the kingdom of God. So when it says we enter his courts with praise, we enter with thanksgiving, we are coming through Jesus Christ. And we're transformed by a living, active Holy Spirit to be vibrant, joyful followers and servants of Jesus. That doesn't mean to say that we won't have days when we are not too happy, but joy is different to happiness. We are full of joy, even in sadness, we are full of joy. In 2012, Gary Barlow from Take That was commissioned along with composer Andrew Lloyd Webber and supported by a number of artists from around the Commonwealth countries to create a song that would honour our Queen on the anniversary of a Diamond Jubilee. It was performed on the 4th of June 2012, and the song was titled, quite simply, Sing. It was an amazing piece of music from loads and loads of different people from different parts of the world singing and part of it. And the favourite part of mine of that song, he's the blind guy. I can't remember what country he was from, whether it was Papua New Guinea or what, I don't know. But he was in the background going, oh, 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 and we're going to listen to it a little bit later and you will hear that. He was able to praise God in his own way, in his cultural way. Okay? Now, I know, we don't know if those that were committed to this song were Christian. but it shows how God can use people with different gifts that he's given to people to bring such beauty to our world. It was an anthem of praise for all that the Queen had embodied in her current realm at the time. It brought together communities with a common focus to sing a joyful song. Now, back in the day, I don't think they still do it now, we all used to have assemblies and we all used to sing Christian songs and hymns. I don't think that happens now, but it was a meeting place, a coming together. And even if children had never heard about God or knew who he was, they were able to engage with him through that. And I know that God used to meet people through those songs and hymns and music and that collective coming together. When we enter joyfully into God's presence, we know his love and we are known. And we know that his faithfulness is not only to us, but all those that have gone before us and all those that are going to come after us. Quite recently in Bradford, there was a school that was failing and it went into special measures and they needed a whole new leadership team. The behaviour of the pupils were off the scale. The engagement of the parents was non-existent and staff morale was really, really low. So the new head teacher that went in got together with a music coordinator called Jimmy Rotherham. And they embedded music and joyful noise throughout the whole school curriculum, throughout the whole community. And it totally transformed that school. But not just that school, it transformed the homes of the where the children were going to the parents, the parents were involved, and it had a real big effect on the local community where the poverty and crime was at that time really high. And what the headmaster said was, what we discovered is that children need to be engaged, not just at the level of mind and body, but also at the level of the soul and spirit. I thought, what an amazing thing. I don't know if this guy's a Christian, but wow. And how much more for us can we be engaged, not just mind and body, but soul and spirit. The school's now in the top 10% of high-performing schools, and it's older pupils who've come through that system have integrated this culture of joyful sound. They're now in the top 1 and 2% for maths and English attainment because music permeated every single lesson. And to me, it's just such an example of how God uses the gifts of people and how they can be utilized and harmonized to create such a transforming difference. But how much more amazing is it that when people know Jesus, their lives are transformed at every single level and a new creation is born. We're no longer in condemnation. We are a new creation in Jesus. On a recent holiday, we experienced the powerful, joyful noise of the Mauritian drums. Wow, they were loud. And it led people and it uplifted people. There was no other music apart from the beats of these drums. They were certainly not afraid to make the noise, nor were they shy in engaging people to partake of the movement of the rhythmic dance. And we were made to praise God because he loves us and he created us for his delight. Have you ever been to concerts and festivals? You hear roaring shouts of thanks, of praise, and they're honouring those that are singing and performing. Worship has a place for us to shout for joy. In Salvation Army terminology, it's to sound the hallelujah. And when you do that, the tambourines go, everybody's on the drums and you're up and down and you're moving around. But there is a place. But some of us, like me sometimes, maybe the quiet reserved type, but God has created us to be creative and to exude and delight in uninhibited, extravagant worship, to sing, to make joyful noise. So no opt out for those that are tone deaf because it's not just about singing. It's about worship our whole body to make that. It may be in your worship and praise and thanksgiving at home, you close the curtains and the blinds so you don't raise any unwanted attention from your neighbours when you're having your time with God at home. But we are commanded to be exuberant with our worship and in our worship. And as we have been given, let us give. The contemporary English version of Luke 12:48 reads, "If God has been generous with you, he will expect you to serve him well. But if he has been even more than generous, he will expect you to serve him even better." In a time where communities that we live in are increasingly fractured and contentious, it's difficult to imagine a throng of faithful Christian witnesses moving together as one to praise God. Because fractured communities pull and tug. But when we're a whole community together, we can move through that. It's precisely at this difficult time when Psalm 100 should come to our lips. Imagine if all the Christians and all the churches that we know of in Basildon daily gave a focus to this psalm, how different would our town be? And maybe that's a challenge for us, I don't know. Whenever we sing or share this together, we join a vast community of praise throughout the course of history. As we bear witness to God's goodness, we are stepping into a procession that stretches across time and space. We celebrate God's enduring commitment to the redemption of the world and to reaffirm our common identity as God's people. Our loud shouts of praise announce the coming of God's kingdom. And our world needs to hear this. Maybe our living and them seeing how we live and how we be and how we respond speaks volumes and is the big shout because they know something's different. And when they ask, that's the opportunity to go in. Our world needs to hear it. There is a different way to live and a different way to be. And that God's love can transform us and can transform the darkest of souls into beacons of light and life. You see that in prisons, don't you? When people go in and they have no hope and then they go to a service or they go to several Christian services and the pastors go around and their lives are changed. They're still in the most dire place, but their souls have been transformed. But it's not about taking people out of a situation sometimes, although there is a place for that. It's what God does to that person and that life in that situation. So the world is crying out to know of God's enduring love and faithfulness, which never becomes exhausted, unlike us sometimes. So are we listening to the voice of God? Are we responding to shouts of joy? And I'm sure whoever's leading worship here on a Sunday will not mind if there is an outburst of shouts for joy when it's appropriately led by the Spirit. There are times for that to happen. And there are times for the battle cry to go out. But led by the Spirit, not just off the cuff. No matter if you're in a battle right now, or you're relishing all the good and plentiful blessings that God has given you. Jubilant responses should swell up from within us and come out. So I know we had a bit of fun with that. Whoa, 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 whoa. I want you going out of here doing that. And when you've got a difficult time this week, just remember that. Because every one of you, most of you, are smiling. We can do that. We can be childlike and come before God. And through that, he won battles. He won Jericho. He gave us permission for this building. He has done so much more when we look through the Bible. So if you're in school or if you're at work or you're at home, you're in hospital, whatever, you want a battle cry, you go ahead. I often go into the park at work and have a little one of those when no one's looking. Because that ground is God's and I want him to take it. So before we conclude, I want us to listen to the music of Gary Barlow's song, Sing. And just for you to get a flavour and reflect, if this is what can be achieved through someone who may not profess to be a Christian, what can we achieve for God as a whole nation through generations? And the music is simply wonderful. And it is based on Psalm 100. There are excerpts from that in this. So if you listen, and then we'll come together to conclude our time together. How uplifting. If you can imagine a whole nation, the whole world of our Christian brothers and sisters, and those not yet knowing Christ, we have a story to tell. We have some noise to make. Like you did, John, when you had your issue with your toilet, you were able to witness. You know, we have that place to say our voice. Even the youngest infant is in church and they're saying amen because they know that they're in a place and they know what God and who God is and they're getting to know him.